who are also listening. Madam Clerk, read the first item on the agenda, please.
From the Department of Labor Relations, requesting authorization to ratify the 2009 through 2012 Memorandum of Agreement between Milwaukee County and the Milwaukee Deputy Sheriff's Association. This item was referred to the Committees on Finance and Audit and Personnel and the Pension Board.
Good morning, Mr. Bow, Mr. Langer. Please identify yourselves for those in attendance and those who are listening this morning.
Fred Bow from the Department of Labor Relations.
Larry Langer from Buckeye College.
Gentlemen, good morning. We welcome you and appreciate your negotiations and thorough analyses, and we're all ears.
What we have here today is the portion of the tentative agreement that has been reached with the Milwaukee Deputy Sheriff's Association involving the pension matter that is incorporated therein. The pension matter involves a five-year window for potential deputy sheriffs to be able to retire. 5 years can be added to their age only with respect to being able to retire. So an officer with, let's say, who's age 50 and has 20 years of service could then retire at age 55, adding the 5 years with the 20 years of service, which is one way that the deputies can retire. Mr. Langer has done a fiscal analysis of that, which he can describe for you.
Quick question from Supervisor Mayo, please.
So make sure I understand this. This is only add to the age,
correct,
not to their credits.
Correct.
All right. And a follow-up question to add to that, too. Is that 5 years for everyone choosing to retire, or is that only a availability of up to a maximum of five, depending on their age?
It's up to a maximum of five. So if it only takes, I'll say, 3 years to be able to retire, a person would only get the 3 years. On
thank
their
you
age.
Thank
somebody
you
who's 52,
mm-hmm,
they have to get the 55.
Thank you, Mr. Bob. Continue.
Quick question. Another question.
Supervisor Mayo.
If we're not talking about the age of 55. So. Say if somebody is 47 and then you add the 5 to a 52, then they have the years. Will they be able to retire then?
If they have the years.
Okay.
Years of service.
All right, I'm done.
Supervisor Thomas, please.
Mr. Chairman, I'm still a little lost on what's the significance of this 5 years. And I guess I'm really trying to figure out how is this going to impact us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bigger picture.
I think the fiscal element of it is better describing that.
Okay. And perhaps if I can add in, having been on the Personnel Committee, one of the tools you were looking for in the negotiations is to help the county encourage retirement. And so I believe this was one of the major tools that would afford the rank and file member to make an individual determination as whether or not they were going to retire, which then could directly benefit that individual and, importantly, benefit the county long term by having a layoff avoided through retirement.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Initially, when we started bargaining with the DSA, they wanted everybody in their association to come under the rule of 75. Which is really an extremely expensive proposition for them. And this was more or less the way that we got somewhere to encouraging their people to an early type of retirement, adding only age to their factors.
Thank you, Mr. Bob. Supervisor Thomas, did I give you some more background on
that? It did. I guess I'd wait to hear the fiscal impact. It may help a little bit more.
Well, let's continue then. Mr. Lane.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have a November 14, 2011 letter titled Experts Review of Milwaukee Deputy Sheriff's Association Voluntary Settlement Proposal Retirement Window.
Mm-hmm.
We'll walk through the analysis and just a little bit of background. Windows tend to be a somewhat common way of trying to induce folks to leave early. This window right here, the way I sort of view it is, it selects a group of people, and we've identified about 46 folks here, that it'll allow those folks, instead of waiting 5 years to retire, it allows them to retire now with the benefit they have accrued, so no service credits or future salary credits or things 46 folks that are eligible to make use of the window. And when you price a window out, one of the elements is nobody knows who's going to take the window. There is no certainty surrounding that. So the numbers, what we typically do is we calculate the numbers on a worst-case scenario. Let's assume that all 46 members that we've identified here actually avail themselves of the window and walk out the door. And we calculate liability on that, an increase in liability. The flip side of that, and there's a lot more costs or savings associated with that, that smarter people behind me, I'm sure, put into their fiscal notes. With regard to the pension system, while there's an increase in the liability because you're letting these folks retire 5 years earlier than we anticipated within the valuation, we also eliminate that normal cost piece. Normal cost is the cost of benefits accruing during the year. That piece gets eliminated for some period of time. And that's another, we don't know how long the positions will stay open necessarily. No one knows that with any certainty. It could be for years. It could be, almost immediately. So I anticipate, based upon things I've been hearing, that these positions probably won't be immediately filled. So working through with that background in mind, near the bottom of the page, with the assistance of county staff, we've identified 46 Deputy Sheriff Association members that'd be eligible for the window. If these folks, if all of them, take the window, the increase in the liability for those members increases from about $14.6 million at the top of page 2 to $19.9 million. Or roughly $5.3 million. That's the increase in liability. On the flip side, you're not going to be paying benefit accruals anymore for these folks in the future. That amount, the annual piece of that, is about $423,000 a year. Now, the impact on the county contribution, which is the thing that folks tend to hear about, is the sum of the decrease in the normal cost plus. We tend not to pay off unfunded liability all at once. We amortize it or pay it off like a mortgage over the course of time. So it's the sum of the elimination of the normal cost plus an amortization of that $5.3 million worth of increase in the liability. We got a chart a little bit farther down on the page. And the chart, there's four columns there. Different amortization periods I show here, and we'll get into that a little bit more detail in a minute or two. A 3-year, 5-year, 15-year, and 30-year amortization. The current policy for unfunded liabilities of this nature is a 30-year period. That's unfunded liabilities are amortized over 30 years, typically within the plan. There's other nits I won't get into. When you don't a contribution overages, shortfalls, they tend to be amortized over 10 years. But generally, most things are amortized over 30 years. Now, the cost here, that increase in AAL contribution, again, that's in all those numbers, the $1.9 million all the way down to the $329,000 number, those are all represent different amortization payments of the $5.3 million. All right, so obviously you pay it off in 3 years. It's a big number, but you're done in 3 years. It's an almost $2 million number. If you pay it off over 30 years, it's a much smaller number, but you're making that payment for 30 years. I see heads nodding up and down. Good deal. Normal cost savings in the first year is pretty consistent. It'll be the same. If all 46 of these folks leave, you'll encounter savings within the contribution of that $423,000. So the next change in contribution can run from $1.5 million in the first year down to a savings of $93,000. And this is when there's a moment for pause. Mm-hmm. You just increase the life, and this is where you step back from, we amortize things over 30 years. In this instance, you don't want to. Right. You've just increased the liability of the retirement system by $5.3 million. Granted, you've reduced normal cost contributions, so you're relieved of that in the future, but you've increased liability. And increasing liability, while you're decreasing contributions, it doesn't smell right? So the recommendation here in terms, one of the recommendations contained in this proposal is that to the extent that this is adopted, any of the liability associated with this window be amortized over a shorter period of time, at least a period of time that generates an additional contribution. And that's why you see in 15 years, you start seeing an additional contribution to the fund to start paying off the increase in the retirement system liability. Does that comment make some sense? Now,
Be sure to make a mental note to come back to, should we go that route, what is that in relation to the table?
Yeah.
What the payment would be. Supervisor Mayo had a question.
I was going to the same route, but the difference isn't the pension board, don't they advertise between 10 to 15 years, or actually 8 to 10 years to advertise over the period of time? So why would you go out 30 years versus going from 8 to 10?
The pension board right now, for the vast majority of the unfunded liabilities, amortized over 30 years.
Okay.
The unfunded liability is amortized over 30 years.
Is Supervisor Mayo's comment reflected on changes in the valuation of the plan, how you smooth that over a shorter period of time?
There's other changes that are different periods of time, and I don't have them completely memorized in my head, but administrative expenses, we amortize those over a 10-year period. Contribution overages and underages, and I think I said 10 years just now, and that's really five.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those two elements are all over shorter periods of time. So any unfunded liability that's generated by plan amendments, changes in unfunded liability to actual gains and losses, you know, we go back and we true up the results every year, and the results are going to be off. We take those amounts and amortize them over a 30-year period. A lot of that, the 30-year period, has to do like with market returns that deviate from the 8% return that we have. Those are amortized over 30 years. So virtually everything else is amortized over 30 years.
Okay. Thank you.
Good information. Please continue, Mr. Allen.
Now, these amounts are first-year costs. In the future, a couple of truths. I think I say this in English, my version of English. Later on in the paragraph, I'll try and paraphrase it as we go along. These are first-year costs. In the future, there's going to be two distinct things happening. The increase in AAL contribution we talked about briefly, that three-year amount, we'll have that contribution payment for 3 years. On top of that, remember, contributions to the retirement system, we develop them in such a way that they increase with expected payroll increases. So based on this projection, we have the first-year AAL contribution of $1.9 million, or almost $2 million there, will increase by 3.5% over the remaining 2 years of the three-year amortization period. Similarly, you go to the 30-year amount that's hanging out there. It starts at $329,000. That increases by 3.5% each year through the remainder of the 30-year amortization period. Those are pretty much blocked costs. Those are things for those brave enough to delve into the valuation report. You'll see that tucked within the amortization schedule in the report if indeed this is adopted. The area that is a little bit more difficult to grasp is this normal cost savings amount. In the normal cost savings, if you look just at the folks that are affected right here, the 46 folks that are affected, frankly, we've developed evaluation results in such a way that their pension should be fully funded by the time they reach retirement. And we fully fund those amounts by these normal cost contributions. These normal cost contributions are also developed so that they increase with payroll year after year after year. So this first year is $423,000, and it'll up by 3.5-4% going into the future. There's stuff in there for merit longevity on top of that. Mind you, this is all actuarial realm. It doesn't always year to year tie to what you're actually doing in budget sessions right now. These are longer term actuarial projections. So the normal cost savings here, they would result over the remaining career of these 46 folks. And that's no more than 7, 8, 9 years. You know, the 5 years that they're going to get with this proposal, plus on average, we anticipate deputy sheriffs leave within a year and a half to 2 years after first becoming eligible to retire. So these savings that show up right here for just the affected members, those savings will only be in place for roughly, you know, 5-7 years, something like that. They're not permanent. They certainly don't line up with the number of years that we're using for the amortization amount. All right? Mm-hmm. Everyone with me still?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With all good. Yeah. Okay.
With the right dollars coming out of the
question. That's just for the members within the system. Now, the valuation sort of implicitly anticipates that you have replacement. So if you have replacements coming in for an extended period of time, and you reduce this 46 folks, and you keep the population level reduced, that normal cost savings will continue as long as these positions aren't filled. Now, they'll be at lower pay levels, so that, you know, the normal cost will slide down a bit. But the normal cost savings, that's just in place as long as you don't replace the positions. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, that being said, there are some places where they put a window in place, and 2 or 3 years later, they hire everyone back. If you think you're one of those places, then I would encourage you to pay off this window in a 3 to 5 year period, because you're only going to get these normal cost savings for 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. You want to sort of tie down, this is the matching principle of accounting, I think, is what I used to call it. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to, the expenses used to get people to walk out the door should be matched against the savings you're getting from payroll and all that stuff.
Right.
So with that being said, those sort of talk to, you know, the decision between a 3-year, 5-year, and 15-year contribution policy. Again, I'm recommending at a minimum that you go with a 15-year amount if indeed this is adopted. If you think that you're going to be replacing these positions shortly, I would recommend going to a 3 to 5 year period. Now, one element that's hanging out here that I'll allude to briefly, no one knows who's going to elect the window. If no one elects the window, the cost of this window is zero. Mm-hmm. All right? If everyone elects it, it'll come in at this $5.3 million increase in liability and the normal cost savings here. If you have a rough idea as to the number of folks that are going to avail themselves of this window, for purposes of the analysis, it's not unreasonable to sort of prorate the results I have here. Mm-hmm. You know, depending upon the bodies that elect, you might probably end up with different results. But if you think, you know, a third of the bodies are going to elect this thing, and you choose to go with an 8-year five-year amortization, you take the $818,000 that's sitting there and take a third of that, which is some number that I can't calculate right now, $270,000 or something like that.
Mr. Langer, you raised two scenarios, one if no one retired, and then one if a portion retired. Is there a situation where more members would choose to retire, then this only is capped and it limits at the maximum, and then everybody else just falls where they are based on current vesting and earnings and compilations?
Yeah, the 46 members is a complete group of folks that are eligible to take this window. So there shouldn't be any more folks than that can take it. Mm-hmm. And we always bounce this stuff back and forth with county staff. Okay.
Let's ask Mr. Scott Mansky if he's got some additional insight on that question.
There are 21 people that are eligible to retire right now from Milwaukee County, regardless of the window, in the Deputy Sheriff's Association. So 21 of them have either the rule of 75 or they're age 57 or greater. There are 46 people, as Mr. Langer has indicated, that come eligible for this under the window that is offered. Under the contract, and Mr. Bauer can talk about that, this has a closure date of December 31st, 2011. Mm. So this ends as of December 31st, 2011, so an individual would have to make a choice by that date and retire by December 31st if they wanted to take this window. That's how additional people can't be included. So when the actuary did their calculation, they did their calculation based upon the fact of this ending as of December 31st, 2011, And so these are the maximum number of people that would be eligible under.
Thank you, Mr. Mansky. Any questions? Supervisor Thomas, do you have a question?
Yes, Mr. Mansky, I have a question. You had indicated that 21 are eligible to retire now, currently. Is that 21 included in the 46, or is that in addition to? So there's a total of 67.
Correct.
46 here who are members who are eligible for the five-year or early retirement, in addition to the 21 who are eligible today.
And the 21 that are eligible, and Mr. Langer can comment on that, in essence, under the pension plan right now, they are funded under the pension plan, and their liability is at the full amount in an anticipation that they would probably be choosing to retire at a certain point in time in the future. But there would not be an additional liability associated with them.
Okay, so it wouldn't impact any of the information that we've just received now?
This is a little nit to get into. What Scott is saying is virtually right. In terms of the 21 that are eligible to retire, they're almost virtually fully funded.
You know, almost.
Almost. So there might be, and by almost, I mean, since these folks retire so close to retirement, you know, within a year and a half to 2 years, there might be some guy out there that just became eligible to retire, and we're still anticipating to fund them for another year and a half. Mm-hmm. So you'd end up with a little bit of a blip up in the liability for those folks. And this happens routinely in the evaluation process. You always have people that leave earlier than anticipate or people that leave later than you anticipate. And that would get captured within the routine gains and losses of the plan. Mm-hmm. So what Mr. Ransom is saying is so close to being right, I'd love to say it's right, but there's just that little bit.
Okay. Yes, Mr.
Continue, Mr. Minister. Thank you, Supervisor.
The comment I'd like to make is that the window that is being offered is adding age only and not years of service that a supervisor male indicated. Mm-hmm. So the members who are currently eligible to retire, the 21, don't receive any additional benefit as a result of this window because it's only adding age and they already meet the requirements that are there. So they're not receiving any additional benefit as a result.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anything, Supervisor?
No, fine.
I'd just like to add a comment in general that our purpose is to take a look at the proposed change before us, gather all the information, and then narrow our focus as whether or not this will be desirable. This is exceptionally helpful and good background information. The specifics of whether you do this kind of thing is at our next meeting I see scheduled in less than an hour. For the joint meeting of the Personnel and Finance Committee, followed by the entire county board this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good while we continue to ask those questions. We'll continue to do so and get the answers. But when we conclude this meeting here, we'll be actually taking a look at what the recommended change is, whether or not it's desirable, and then weighing with our recommendation to the county board supervisors. Supervisor Nail?
Can we make a recommendation from this committee to that committee?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, I thought so. All right.
Mm-hmm.
To the full board.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Gentlemen.
Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to point out that there are actually two other pension provisions in this agreement, okay. And the commission should be reviewing all three changes and commenting on all three changes. Mr. Langer has given you a report on the retirement window. Mm-hmm. And the other changes are the fact that the Deputy Sheriff's Association members have agreed that starting next year they will make the member contributions, the employee contributions.
Okay.
And so, and Mr. Langer, I think, assisted in the calculation of the amount of that contribution. For this group, it would be 6.59%. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's
right. As opposed to the 4.7% for most employees.
That's the pension contribution by the deputy
sheriffs. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Good
and
question.
So,
Supervisor Mayor, you have a brief question.
Why are their contribution higher than regular county employee
contribution? Well, my simple answer, and Mr. Langer can answer this, is they cost us more.
That group would cost more.
Why would they cost us more? That's not a good answer.
Well, give him a chance. We just asked a question. Mr. Mansky.
The Deputy Sheriff's Association, just to give an example, can retire at either age 50 plus 30 years of service or age 57 or under a rule of 75. In addition, the members of the deputy versus, for example, a non-rep who can retire at age 55 or I believe it's age...
55 and 30. Or age 60.
55 and 30, or age 60, or under a rule of 75. The pension benefit associated with the Deputy Sheriff's Association is 2% for the current members and 2.5% for the members that started prior to, I believe it's 1995. Yes. So they versus... inactive employee, which is now currently down to 1.6%, but which was at 2% and 2.5%. So their benefit, because they can retire earlier and because of the fact that they can earn more benefits, their dollar amount of their benefits is a higher cost. When Mr. Langer and I looked at this issue in coming up with the rate for active employees, the rate for active employees is 4.7%. We looked at it, though, and we looked at how the state comes up with their rate. The state comes up with their rate, and basically they have four different groups. They have, in essence, your regular employee, your executive group, which includes also the politicians, and then they have also their group, which is their
protective services.
And what you'll notice also in the state is they have a much higher rate for their protective services. So when we developed the rate for Milwaukee County of the 4.7%, we said, let's pull out from that the protective services. If we had included the protective services in the rate that we used for Milwaukee County, we would have had a 4.9% rate as an overall average. The basic answer to your question is they are providing greater benefits, therefore it is a greater cost, and that's why they have a higher rate.
That's helpful.
Yes, please.
So, Mr. Manson, you're telling me because of their multiplier is higher than the average county employee, and plus of the number of years that they can retire, that's why they raise it much higher?
Yes.
Okay. That's simple.
Sorry.
That's an excellent question, and thank you for your expert analysis in stating the answer.
Mr. Chairman, the other thing I wanted to mention, the third change that is in this to the pension system is the addition of a Deputy Sheriff's Association member to the pension board. That does not have a direct fiscal impact. It won't change the contribution that the county makes in a direct way, but it is a change to the pension ordinances. It will have to be adopted through an ordinance amendment at a later date, and there were some issues that we'll have to, that the county board, I think, will have to think about with associated with that, whether that's a good idea to allocate a seat to a membership group of 300 and some people as opposed to non-reps with 1,500 or AFSCME with 2,000 or whatever they have. We don't typically allocate seats that way, but there's nothing illegal about it. It's a change in past practice, and so it's something that should be considered. It does have some practical concerns in terms of how we administer the pension board, but they're not legal concerns. So
then just to re-summarize what you just summarized, we've got the window to evaluate today. Mm-hmm. We have to evaluate the employee contribution and then the addition of one member to the board. Working reverse, adding a member to the board really has no cost to the county as far as the pension system and the change to the plan. That's just administrative and managerial, and a change required if the board agrees with it to amend the ordinances to allow for.
The only cost that I can think of, and Mr. Langer or Mr. Mansky can chime in, is that pension board members do attend conferences, so there's a slight increase in expenses associated with their educational opportunities. And then, of course, you just have the opportunity cost of that member being excused from work. to attend meetings. Those are the only two things I can think of.
And then if we take a look at the previous one, the employee's contribution, the net impact of that is that there would be a decrease in costs to the county to administer the pension. And
right, every dollar that you put in as a member contribution is one less dollar that the county has to put in.
And then we spent a good deal of time going through the whole windmill. Did we cover everything that we wanted to discuss about the windmill, gentlemen? Supervisor Mayo, before you answer.
I just want to go back to the contribution of the Deputy Sheriff. Have you cost that out to see what the savings to Milwaukee County?
We didn't cost that out in terms of the savings to the county. I'm sure there's a rough estimate within it. It actually involves somewhat simpler math, and it might actually, I wouldn't be stunned if it was in the fiscal note. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Mansky, before you begin, would it be helpful to go through the team's analysis with the fiscal note rather than just grab a piece out of it and just have a summary by the authors, or should we just, what's the pleasure of the committee? Would you have enough information reading through it, or would you like a formal summary by the co-authors?
Either one makes me, I just want to know what the savings is. So you can go to the summary, or you can do whatever.
Shot at it, Mr. Mansky, and if we need more, we can delve a little deeper.
It's, I think the comment that I would make is that it's the committees that are meeting at the 10 are going to find that it's a very complicated fiscal note, because it's a very complicated process, because it involves the budget, it involves, you know, what's in the contract and the other types of things. In relative terms, the pension contribution will provide about $1.4 million to Milwaukee County at the 6.59%. There are other things that they are receiving a 4% wage increase at the end of 2012. For 2012, their step freezes are frozen. Their uniform allowance and hazardous duty pay is given up for 2012. There are health care changes, and they are giving higher contributions for health insurance. And off, so on the giving back to the county are step freezes, uniform, hazardous duty, pension contributions, and contributions for health insurance. Offsetting those is a wage increase at the end of 12, as I mentioned, and then it would also be the pension plan window, depending upon how many people take it. The other things that are in there is that they have a maximum number of layoffs at 61, okay? And the other thing is that the savings, any savings that is generated in 12 will be used to buy back positions. So while you might have savings that are here that could potentially help to the bottom line, because of the number of layoffs that are proposed in the budget, they ask that any savings for 12 be used to buy back positions in the county. But what you get in that will be the discussion, you know, where does that end you up, you know, like for 13 and 14 and going forward? And so then you have a wage increase you have to deal with, and then but you do get the pension contribution, the health changes, the additional health contribution, offsetting the wage increase, and the pension window that's here.
Any other questions, my supervisor? It's a detailed process that I'm sure we'll see much more at the subsequent meetings here, starting at 10.
Yeah.
Supervisor Thomas? Anything right now? Okay. I think we've addressed the three major issues before us. We've had a detailed analysis by our actuary. Thank you, Mr. Langer. Any other questions for the gentlemen here and ladies? Pleasure of the committee. We have three changes before us. They were the window, the employee contribution, and the additional member to the pension board. Is there any pleasure or recommendations by the committee to address all three or any one of these?
I have one more question, Supervisor. Mr. Chairman. I guess in taking the worst case scenario with the information that was just presented to us, where are we expecting to be at the end of 12? Because it's kind of complicated to try to get all of this information and try to coordinate it when it doesn't seem like it's easy to kind of put this, you know, these numbers together. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really clear on where we're going to be at after we make all of these changes and where we'll be at in 12.
Mr. Hare, would you join us? And Mr. Bobby, have anything to add? Because
I've been
monitoring this pretty closely through the negotiation process and presentations at the Personnel Committee.
I'm a little confused as to what you mean by your question, where will we be at the end of 12? The contract expires on at the end of 12/31/12. At that point in time, they will have increased wages by the 4%.
Uh-huh.
The uniform allowance and the hazardous duty allowance and the step freeze is only for calendar year 12. Mm-hmm. So those would be back in unless we negotiate to freeze them again, you know, in 13 and subsequent years. But those benefits would be back on the table, so to speak, for their next contract.
Well, I would say just taking all of those things into consideration, it's just hard to realize if we're actually saving anything this year, mm-hmm. or going into 12, and then what's that impact going to be going forward, because there are so many moving parts here.
I think there is an actual savings in 12 based on Scott's fiscal note and those separate items that we will be saving money on in 12. Like I said, those items will be in effect back on the table for 13 and subsequent years during negotiations. The 6.59% will continue into 13 until they either negotiate a different amount or we agree not to have them pay anything. So the pension contribution and the increased health insurance contribution, those will stay there beyond 12 until something different is negotiated.
Okay. Mr. Hare?
Mr. Chairman,
this
is a little bit along the lines of putting this committee's charge in a broader perspective, but the fiscal note shows that the impact on 12 is a reduction in the cost of sheriff's deputies of about 11%. That would be the certainty you would get out of this, given all the other caveats about what happens with the budget this afternoon, how it's implemented with the sheriff, the moving parts referred to. The uncertainty is always an issue with any labor contract, and especially with this one. The uncertainty goes to if we proceed down the road of arbitration and end up giving higher wage increases, not being able to attach the contribution to the pension, not being able to achieve the health care savings, and that's the unknown that could cost you millions of dollars in 12. Where you all are as policymakers, especially in the next meeting, is at the difficult point of coming up with a vote on something given the certainty of what could be 11% reduction in your cost per employee, or the uncertainty of whether we could go deeper into that realm or whether we would end up having to actually spend more.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
At this time, if there's no further questions, the pleasure of the committee on acting on these three items.
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion by Supervisor Thomas to move approval of the items before us.
All three items?
Is that all three items, Supervisor Thomas?
All three items.
All three items. The window, the employee contribution, and the addition of one member to the pension board. Is there any discussion by members of the committee on the motion before us? Question for staff, is there something that we need to be aware of?
Mr. Chairman, maybe Corporation Counsel can assist us on this, but there's a question as to whether or not you are indeed acting on all three matters or if you're just making a recommendation on the window itself. So perhaps Mr. Grady can reinform us or clarify his earlier comments on that matter.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, the way I read the ordinance that governs the Pension Study Commission, your charge isn't technically to approve or disprove. It's to, I guess I would say, comment or advise. Mm-hmm. Now, it's implicit in an approval that you're making a positive comment. But what the ordinance says is the report, what this body is supposed to do is generate a report to the county board, which includes the actuarial report, but also includes, according to the ordinance, the cost implications and the, quote, desirability, close quote, of the proposed change. And so whether you fashion that as a motion to approve them and therefore deem them desirable, or whether you want to do a more narrative report along those lines, you need to provide some input on the desirability. And if that's a motion to approve, that's fine as long as it's conveyed in that fashion.
So if it's our intent to honor what we're charged by state law and our ordinances and your advice as our corp counsel, is there a way that we can act on it based on the motion before us by Supervisor Thomas and then write it in the proper narrative form to reflect that?
Sure. I think what I'm hearing the motion is a motion to advise the county board that the Pension Study Commission deems these changes to be desirable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's how I take a motion to approve to me.
Staff, you'd be able to help craft that letter should that vote result in successful approval. Thank you very much, Mr. Grady. Supervisor Thomas, you okay with that?
Yep, I'm fine with that, Mr. Chairman.
Our colleague, Supervisor Mayo. Then we do have the motion by Supervisor Thomas before us for approval and recommendation to the County Board of its desirability. There being no further questions, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayo.
Aye.
Thomas.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
3 ayes, 0 noes. The motion is approved.
This concludes our business today of the Pension Study Commission. I thank everyone for their assistance and attendance today.